Hi everyone, I'm Pinakin Munshi and we are covering the legal aspects in supply chain management. We will now cover chapter 8, which is on carriage contracts. So under this chapter we are going to cover contracts of carriage definition. Also we will cover the classification. We will cover carriages of goods by road, by rail, by air and by sea. So, the definition of contract of carriage, any person, organization or association which carries goods are known as carriers. When we say any person means even a courier, a private courier, he is a carrier. Organizations which could be, you know, companies like Maersk or you know, you have Patel Roadways and Ghadge Patel and all this. So, these are all carriers. For the purpose of carrying the goods, a contract of carriage is to be entered into. Now, it's not that every time you enter into an elaborate contract, but the documents that you issue to the carrier or the document that the carrier issues to you in itself forms a contract. Goods may be carried by land, sea or air, and when we say land, it may not be necessarily only land. It can be by road, by rail, or it can be inland water transportation also. So that is not very common in India, but there are places like in Goa, the iron ore is actually transported by barges, you know, through some of the rivers. So let's look at the classification of contract carriages. The first one you have is the common carrier. So a common carrier is a carrier who transports the goods as a business. They do it for money. They will transport the goods from place to place. It could be either by land, by waterways or by air, and they will do it for anybody. I mean, they will not discriminate between the consigners. The common carrier is also what we call as the public carrier. Public carrier is of course something that we use mostly in the road transport sector. So common carrier is a terminology which can be used across different modes of transport. The second one you have is the private carrier. So a private carrier is carrying goods only for you know, their own purpose. You may have seen you know, delivery vans which belong to certain bakeries, and they are, you know, belonging to the bakery and they only deliver goods for the bakery. So this is an example of private carrier. Or you can see the motorbikes which are owned by Domino's or Pizza Hut, etc. So these are all private carriers. They do not carry material for any consigner. They do it purely for their own personal purpose. Then you have these gratuitous carrier. So this is when a carrier carries goods without any compensation or any offer. That means they are actually carrying the goods free of cost. So in that case they are termed as the gratuitous carrier. So we come to carriage of goods by road. The most common form of carriage, inland transport, as we know, this is covered by the Carrier Act of 1865, and this governs the carriage of goods by road. Basically, the act covers all the rights, duties and liabilities of the road carriers. One of the things to be noted is that the postal services are not part of this Carrier Act or the Road Carriage Act, because they are being termed as agents, so they don't fall under this act. So what are some of the rights of the common carrier? They are entitled to a reasonable remuneration by way of freight charges or transportation charges. They can refuse to deliver until the charges are paid. You know, there are different modes of payment that you have. There is something called as prepaid transport, when you pay the transport company upfront when you are handing over the goods. There is another mode of transport which is known as to-pay basis, where the material at the time of delivery, the freight charges or transportation charges are paid to the carrier. So, in such cases, a transporter can refuse to deliver the goods if the charges are not received by them. Also, the carrier has a lien on the goods for his remuneration. So, if he doesn't get his remuneration, he can hold the goods and he can lay a claim on the goods. He also has a right to deal with the goods if the charges are not paid. So, he can even dispose of the goods if for an extended period of time the goods are not lifted or not collected or charges are not paid to him. He is entitled to recover damages for late delivery or collection of the dangerous goods. I know many businesses which transport the goods and they don't collect the goods. They basically use the warehouse of the transporter as their own extended warehouse indirectly. So, generally all the road carriers have certain terms and condition where within a reasonable period of time you have to lift the material if it is not a door delivery. If it's a door delivery, normally the carrier will deliver the goods at the destination you have marked. But if it is to be collected from the warehouse of the carrier, you have to do it within a reasonable period of time. And if you don't do that, they even can charge you for the late collection of the goods. Also, for dangerous goods, they may charge extra because there are restrictions. When you are transporting dangerous goods, you cannot carry certain other kind of goods along with the dangerous goods. And also, the storage of dangerous goods may require special conditions. Carriers can also limit their liability subject to certain provisions of the Carrier Act. What are the duties of the common carrier? So, he is bound to carry goods for all the persons who employ him. There may be some exceptions, either the accommodation, that means the kind of packing is not suitable for him to carry in an economical way, or if the quality of the packaging is very poor, it is not roadworthy, or already the packing is in a damaged condition. Again, I give the example, since I work for the chemical industry, if we deliver the packages and if the packages are cracked or leaking, transporters will generally refuse to accept the consignment. So, there are certain cases where they can under exceptional conditions refuse to accept the cargo. Transporters, common carriers, they have to follow a common route. Normally, they have a network. Most transporters operate in a particular segment. There are few large carriers who operate all India level, but they have certain well-defined routes on which they operate. They must deliver the goods in agreed time. So, it's not that they accept the goods and the goods can be delivered as per their will or wish. There is always a service level agreement where it is agreed that the goods will be delivered in a maximum of certain number of days, and this has to be done. And it partly depends upon what is the kind of consignment you have. If you have a part load or a small load, time taken may be longer because they have to consolidate the consignment and then transport it across. There can be transshipment en route. If it is a full truckload, then the movement will be much faster, and since it's a single vehicle moving directly to the destination, and the carrier has to carry the goods safely and securely. What are the liabilities of the common carrier? So, as per the Carrier Act of 1865, the goods are divided into two categories, that is scheduled and non-scheduled goods. Where scheduled goods are the valuable goods and the non-scheduled goods are the non-valuable goods. So, for scheduled goods, the liability is for loss and damage of the goods. the value has to be declared beforehand, and the carrier has to make good the value if at all there is any damage due to negligence or handling of the goods, during the handling of the goods. The carrier can even charge extra for this kind of goods. So if there are particularly very fragile or you know, goods which can be easily damaged, or very high value goods, then they may even charge you extra for the services that they offer. For the non-scheduled goods, there is no such liability. And generally, the non-scheduled goods will be, you know, like you are carrying heavy steel plates, or you know, very heavy steel coils, aluminum coils, etc. You know, this is a common practice in the industry. When you are transporting low value, very high loads, you many a times don't need to insure them, because even if the truck meets with an accident, nobody can take this material, and you know, that there is no chances of any theft, pilferage, etc. So those kind of goods will come under the non-scheduled category. So we now come to carriage of goods by rail. Carriage of goods by rail is governed by the Railway Act 1889. This act has been subsequently amended in 61, 71, 75 and 99. Generally, whenever you are consigning any material by railways, there is a forwarding note which the consigner has to furnish, where you describe the goods, and this is to be submitted to the railway authorities. And upon receipt of the consignment, the railways will issue a railway receipt. And railway receipt is the you can say the carriage contract or the carriage document. Let me tell you that in every case, in case of railways, we call it railway receipt. In case of road transport, we call it the lorry receipt. And we will come to air transport, etc. And I will tell you, there is a similar document there. So this is an important document which is necessary for you know, taking delivery of the consignment at the destination. The classification of the goods to be transported by railways, you know, there are a couple of classification given here. There are articles which are carried at the owner's risk. So railways do not take any you know, risk, or cover any risks for their loss, damage, etc. Generally, these are things like, you know, cement or gravel, steel, heavy steel products. So since, you know, there is no chance of pilferage or loss of these items. Perishable goods, this could be livestock, or it could be perishable goods like vegetables, fruits, etc. Articles which are of special value and are insured. Example given is, you know, like precious metals, or from the government mint, you know, money which is being transported by railways, etc. Defectively packed goods, so goods which are, you know, found to be inadequately packed. So they also form one of the classifications, and explosives and dangerous goods. These are meaning highly flammable or explosive kind of materials, which may be transported by petroleum products is one of them. You must have seen the petroleum tankers, rail tankers. So owner's risk and the railway's risk. There are different tariff rates, you know, when material is being consigned at owner's risk. So obviously the tariff rates are lower when the owner takes the risk. If the railways take the risk, the tariffs are a little higher. Railways will be responsible for losses which are on account of delay or detention in transit, except in cases of unforeseen circumstances, losses due to wrong delivery, and any claims which have to be made on the railway for any damages, losses, etc., they have to be made within 6 months from the delivery date. Just a word of caution here, although railways cover some of the risks, the clauses are such that railway hardly bears those liabilities. So one has to be very careful, and railways are an excellent form of or mode of transport, but right now they are best suited for commodities. You know, as I keep saying that, you know, you have steel plates, steel ingots, or heavy steel coils, etc. They offer you very cheap transportation cost or freight, and you don't have some of the risks associated with railways there. We now come to the carriage of goods by air. This is covered under the Carriage by Air Act, which is originally dated 1972, and this covers carriage of all goods by aircrafts. So, as per the Act, all international carriages are regarded as a single operation. There is a Warsaw Pact or a convention by which, you know, all the parties like India, they are termed to be responsible for the shipments which are transported by air. Airway Bill is a document which I told you. This is a legal document like your rail receipt and lorry receipt. So when it comes to air, it is the Airway Bill, and this document is given by the airline when they receive the consignment. Since air consignments reach the destination very, very fast, it's a common practice to send the Airway Bill along with the consignment to the destination, so that the consignee can collect the goods and maybe clear the goods through customs, etc. Carriage of goods by sea. So, goods which are transported by sea are governed under this Carriage of Goods by Sea Act of 1925. This is the Indian Act, and there is a Bills of Lading Act of 1856. So, a contract of carriage of goods by sea is called a contract of affreightment, and the consideration for the carriage is called freight. And you know that we are using this term very freely, not just for the sea freight, but for all other types of transportation. So that is how the word freight comes in, from this contract of affreightment. We are also talking here about the charter party is a contract providing for hiring of a whole ship. This is where the term chartered comes from. So we always say chartered flight or chartered vessel. It means when you are contracting an entire vessel for your purpose. So that is the term here. Bill of lading is the equivalent of airway bill or lorry receipt or the railway receipt. Again, this is a legal document issued by the carrier, which is the shipping line. So it is issued when the goods are delivered for carriage to a general ship, and even when the ship is chartered. So whether it is a chartered vessel or whether it is a general vessel where you are only shipping a small consignment or a container, the bill of lading is issued by the shipping line. So a little bit on the contract of affreightment. Contract of affreightment is defined as contract by which the owner of the ship undertakes to carry the goods of other parties, or you know, the consignor. And this is done by water, that is by sea, and he is bound to carry the goods, deliver it to the destination in return for a consideration, which normally is the freight. So what are the responsibilities of the carrier by sea? He has to make the ship fit for reception and carriage, and also for preservation. So you know, you have different kind of vessels. You have the container vessels. So you the construction is such that the containers will be properly placed, locked securely as per the standard dimensions of the container. or if it's a tanker which carries petroleum crude, then it has the necessary safeguards and facilities for filling the tanker and for discharging the tanker, etc. So basically the ship has to be fit for the purpose for which it is designed, and it has to preserve the cargo during the journey, because you can encounter rough weather, etc. So the cargo should not be affected, it should be contained, there should be no leakage, etc. The carrier is also responsible for the loading, for handling, for preserving, and for discharge of the goods at the destination port. As we already discussed, they issue a bill of lading with a complete description of the goods being carried. After the consignment is loaded in the ship, and as the word says, bill of lading. So after the goods are laded or laden on the vessel, the bill of lading is issued. In a rare case, shippers can actually issue the ship of the bill of lading. Sometimes when the vessel is due to start loading, although it may not actually have been loaded. And the carrier is also responsible to give delivery of the goods in a stipulated time at the agreed port. Same like the road carrier, there is a reasonable period of time, and it is something which may be part of the service level agreement with the carrier. So what are the liabilities of the sea carrier? So they are liable for the loss or damage which is caused because of negligence or fault of the carrier. Mind you, it only covers the losses on account of the negligence or mishandling of the carrier. Now, as you know that in sea shipments, there are accidents which can occur, due to reasons beyond the control of the carrier, also because of stormy seas, etc. So, carrier is not an insurer, and the risks, there are quite a few risks, when material is being shipped by sea. So, the seller or the buyer can actually insure against those additional risks, by taking a marine insurance at an extra cost. And this is a normal practice, because even in my so many years of experience, we have never raised a claim on the shipping line, since we already had insurance, and we would, if at all there was any damage or loss, we would claim it from the insurance company. So we looked at the liabilities and the duties of the carrier. Let's look at some of the rights of the sea carrier. So they have a right to claim freight for carriage of goods. They have a right of lien, that means they have a right on the goods in case the payment of the freight charges have not been paid. They can withhold the goods, that means they will not deliver the goods to you unless the payments have been made. They can also have the right to claim damages if there is any breach of contract on the part of the consignee or the consigner. They have the right to repudiate the contract in case of breach of contract before the commencement of journey. Repudiate means basically rejection, that means they can refuse to carry the cargo. It can so happen that there is a misdeclaration, there is a dangerous good which is being shipped, a wrong declaration is given which would amount to a breach of trust or breach of contract, and in such a case they can refuse to carry the consignment if it is not already on the vessel. So with that, we come to the end of the Carriage Act. Thank you.